Well, please do take a seat. And if you would find your Bibles again and turn back to Romans 1, that's page 1128. And just while you're doing that, let me lead us in a prayer as we look at these verses together. Our Father God, we thank you very much for your word. We thank you that it is powerful and living, and we pray that you would challenge us and encourage us this morning as we look at these verses, and help us to stick these verses as we stick them around our homes, stick them in our minds and hearts, we pray, in this year ahead, that we might be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, a new year, 2016, it's here, isn't it? It brings new hope, it brings new opportunities. And I wonder what is exciting you about 2016 as you contemplate the year ahead. Apparently, the Chinese year this year is the Red Fire Monkey. That sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it? The Red Fire Monkey. It's even more exciting when you realise that 2015 was the year of the sheep. So 2016 is going to be good, the Red Fire Monkey. It's exciting for you, 2016, if your birthday is on the 29th of February, because you get to celebrate your birthday. Well, things that might be exciting you about 2016, I guess there may be, the thing that might be exciting you about 2016 is that 2015 is gone. And there may be things about 2015 that you are glad that they've gone. Disappointments, regrets that you want to think about. Just seeing Bob goes out reminds us, doesn't it, of loved ones who have been sick or who have even passed away. Disappointments and sadness in the year gone. In our house, there's a tradition now to get a photo box calendar. So every year, Anna, almost at the deadline for photo box, sends off the photos and pops them in, and they come in the calendar. And there's great excitement when you open the new calendar and you can take the 2015 calendar down and put the 2016 calendar up with all the great photos to remind you of things. But putting the calendar up or getting your new diary out and turning over to the blank page, it puts distance, doesn't it? As there are things that you look forward to, it puts distance to the things that you want to forget. The unfulfilled ambitions, the well-laid plans, all those 2015 New Year's resolutions that fizzled and faded all too quickly. And helps us as well get rid of the embarrassments, put the embarrassments and the regrets behind us. Did you have nights in 2015 where you lay awake in your bed and you played over and over in your mind things that you just wish you hadn't done, things that you wish you hadn't said? But 2015 is gone and 2016 is here, a new calendar, a fresh start. And there is something of that fresh start, that eager desire, that fresh ambition and optimism and focus in our passage today and in our verse for the year that we've chosen as a church family to have in our hearts and minds for the year ahead. And you can see Paul's eagerness and his ambition. Just have a look at verse 15, the verse before our verse for the year. Here's Paul's eagerness. He says, "This is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome." He's eager, he's excited about preaching the gospel. And here's our verse 16. We put it up over on the screen, our verse for the year. Verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." And you'll see in your verse in the Bible that it starts with a for. Verse 16 starts with a for, because Paul is going to give us the reason why, his argument why he is so eager to preach the gospel, so eager to speak about Jesus. And actually this morning we're going to get two reasons why he is so eager. But the first one comes just up in verse 14, the start of our reading. Paul says, "I am a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish." I'm a debtor. Paul says he's in debt. I don't know if you saw this, it's been on the news a little bit, how much we're in debt. Just apparently in November alone, we charged up our credit cards as we dashed to the shops and shopped online for Christmas. We charged up our credit cards to the tune of £14.2 billion. That's just November. Isn't that frightening? But Paul is not talking here about Christmas debt, about a big Christmas blowout. He's talking about the debt of the gospel, about being under obligation, compelled even, to pass it on. There are two ways that I could be in debt this morning. If I asked Steve if he could borrow me 20 quid, have you got 20 quid on you? Steve could, probably not. But if I asked Steve if he could lend me 20 quid, I'd then be in debt, wouldn't I, until I pay Steve back the 20 quid. And it's only about 4 weeks till he goes, so if I just hang on, then I'll be free of the debt when Steve's gone. The other way, I wouldn't. I would still be in debt. The other way that I could be in debt is if Steve gave me £20 this morning and said to the Snow, said, Pete, here we go, 20 quid, buy William Snow a present for to remember his baptism. Now Steve has put me in debt to Pete and to the Snow family. Until I discharge my duty to pass on the 20 quid, I'm in debt. I'm in debt to Pete. And that is the kind of debt that Paul is talking about here. He's under obligation. He's in debt. It's not that Rome have lent Paul something and he's now got to pay it back. But Jesus Christ has entrusted Paul with the gospel for the Romans and for all the Gentile world, he goes on to tell us. So that now Paul is under a driving compulsion, an obligation to preach the gospel, to pass it on. Christ has given it to him, the precious treasure of the gospel, and until he passes it on to the waiting world, well, he is in debt to the world. And that is just the same for us. If you have received the precious treasure of the gospel, if you have believed in Jesus, if you call yourself a Christian, you're in debt like that, in debt to the world. The gospel has come to you, and we have no rights to keep it. We have no monopoly on the glorious good news of Jesus Christ to hang on to it. Now, good news, the gospel news, Jesus is for sharing. And so just as Paul is under obligation, we are under obligation to make Jesus known to others. And my hunch is that if you're anything like me, as you think back on 2015, it was not a year overly marked with a burning, compulsive eagerness to share the gospel. At least at any rate, I could have told more people the glorious news of Jesus Christ. But our verse for the year this year is going to remind us, every time you look at it on your fridge, it's going to remind us that at least one thing that would make 2016 a good year, when you get to opening the calendar in Christmas in a year's time, one thing that might make you look back with no regrets on 2016 is that you have, at least in part, paid your debt and told the gospel. Is there someone that you can think of now that you've been putting off speaking to about Jesus? That you see them lots, you spend time with them, but you have not spoken of Christ with them? Is there someone that next week, the guest service you could bring, or Christianity Explored, you could bring and invite along to that? Well, that's Paul's first motivation, and I wanted us to see that he's in debt to the world, because it's assumed when we get to verse 16. And there's something else that is assumed in verse 16 before we see Paul's second motivation. And what's assumed here is that just, even at least, there's the possibility that Paul would be ashamed of the gospel. Verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. But to write that, there's at least the possibility that he felt tempted to be ashamed. Can you just imagine Paul as he's sitting down to write this letter? He's writing it to Rome, to Christians in Rome, to the capital of the world. Can you imagine his temptation just to be a little bit embarrassed? Some people translate the word here disappointed. Disappointed by the gospel. I don't know if you spotted this, but as Downton has come to an end, it's very sad, isn't it? Christmas Day, I don't know if you were up late enough watching that. But people have noticed that never once in all the series of Downton were we showed the Crawley family sitting down to start a mealtime. And the reason is the historical bods, the people who were there, the director of etiquette, would not have allowed them to start any meal without giving thanks, without saying grace. Carson wouldn't have let them, would he, start their meal. You've got to do things properly. And yet today, in today's Britain, with our British values, to air something as religiously provocative as saying grace before a meal, that is too risky. You know, they even toyed with not calling it Downton Abbey, because Abbey makes people think of nuns and monks. They were worried that people wouldn't watch it. And cinema, do you remember that company just before Christmas, Digital Cinema Media? They were all over the news, weren't they? They banned the adverts with the Lord's Prayer in, and lots of it, there was lots of outrage. People wrote in about it and said it was ridiculous. But it reminds us, as we head into 2016, it reminds us that we head into a culture that is increasingly hostile to Christianity, hostile to Jesus and to his gospel. And so a question for us is, will we be ashamed of the gospel in the face of that culture this year? Or, like Paul, will you be unashamed of the gospel? And even when we feel tempted to be ashamed, like Paul might have been tempted to feel ashamed. Do you remember Paul wrote, we saw this when we studied 1 Corinthians, didn't we? As he wrote to the 1 Corinthians, he was aware how foolish it looked to preach the cross. To preach the cross, a crucified king. It's a gospel that to many in our world just sounds pathetic and weak, repulsive even to some, to the watching world. So there's the first reason that we might be tempted to be ashamed, to be disappointed. Disappointed that our message is not just a little bit more palatable. Disappointed that our message is just not a little bit more powerful to those who hear it and presentable. But there's another reason here in verse 16 why Paul is unashamed of the gospel. And it's because the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. You see, Paul sets up his gospel, the gospel of Jesus, as the power of God in contrast to the power of man. See, we love to think of ourselves, don't we, as able to save ourselves. I love to think that I can do it on my own. I love to think that I don't need anybody else to help me. Thank you very much. But the gospel painfully, uncomfortably reminds us that we can't. We can't save ourselves. We do not have the ability to do that. We need Jesus. We need Jesus' death. We need his righteousness because we don't have righteousness of our own. We're not right with God on our own. Do you know, it only took from the moment that the clock ticked over into 2016 in America, only took 15 minutes for the first person to be killed as a result of gun crime. And President Obama, he speaks repeatedly about it, doesn't he? Calling for tighter gun laws. More gun laws mean fewer gun crimes. And we applaud him and we pray that he'd have success. And yet, I don't know if you've seen the footage this week, we've had to watch President Obama crying on CNN as he recounts, over the last couple of decades, I guess, 6 college kids killed in Santa Barbara, 13 high schoolers killed in Columbine, and 20 first graders, that's 6-year-olds, killed in Newtown. And he had to pause and stop and catch himself as tears streamed down his face, as the most powerful man in the world can't get his way. He can't do what he wants to do. And the gospel of Jesus Christ reminds us that in just the same way, we do not have the power to be able to do what we would love to do, to save ourselves, to be okay on my own, to stand before God on the final day and say, do you know what, God? I'm good enough for you. The gospel tells us you're not. I'm not. We can't do it on our own. So that is why Paul is unashamed of the gospel, because it's not about my power, it's about God's power to save. That is the glorious good news of the gospel. You don't have to do it yourself, because God is powerful to save. And so Paul is unashamed. He's unashamed when people laugh at him. He's unashamed when the wise and the intellectual scoff at him for his gospel. He's unashamed when the religious people scorn and the moralists scorn and scoff in their uprightness. Paul is unashamed of the gospel because it will never disappoint. It can't disappoint, because where we are weak and incapable and unable, well, God is gloriously powerful to save. And to save anybody, he says, everyone who believes. So here is great news for us, fantastic, glorious news at the start of 2016. If you have come to Christ, if you've done that and trusted in Jesus in his death and resurrection, there is salvation for you. Not because of you, but because of God's power. And here's great news for you if you've never done that. If you've never turned and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you feel like, however far you feel and unfit you feel, there is salvation for you, not because of you, but because of God and his power. his great news for William Snow this morning on his baptism, not because the waters of baptism save him, but because those precious gospel promises that we claim for him, that the waters signify, that we pray that you'll proclaim to him, those precious gospel promises are powerful to save. Well, I've got two challenges for you, two tests, I suppose, for all of us. As we go into 2016 with this verse as our verse of the year, here's the first test. How can you know if you're likely to be ashamed of this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, this year? How can you know that? If 2016 is going to be a year marked by being ashamed of Jesus, well, the answer's there in verse 15. The answer is if we're not eager to preach Jesus. That's how Paul's logic goes. I'm eager to preach because, verse 16, I'm not ashamed. So therefore, if you're ashamed, it's because it's shown by not being eager to preach. I don't mean preach as in stand up here or get up on a box somewhere and preach and proclaim like that. There's actually no literal word for preach in that verse. The verb is to gospel, to good news. It's to go out and to gossip the gospel, to speak of Jesus, not with impressive words and but just to talk about our Saviour and our Lord and our God. You've probably told people what your best Christmas present was, haven't you? Well, will you tell people about the best news in the world ever and the salvation offer on offer in Jesus Christ? Being unashamed of the gospel means being eager to pass it on however we can, because it's not for us. It's not mine. I'm in debt to the world. Until I pass it on. I'm in debt to Potter's Bar until I pass it on. You're in debt to, I don't know, Halebury School, if you're there, at the Vet College, to your train carriage, to your colleagues at work, to your neighbours, to your family. Will you be unashamed of the gospel and eager to discharge your debt? Well, here's the second test. What will show this year, 2016, what will show whether we are really convinced that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone? Well, what will show us if we're convinced of that, that the gospel is powerful, is whether we are unashamed of it. Again, that's how his logic goes. Because the gospel is God's power to save anyone who believes, everyone, because of that, Paul says, I am unashamed. Utterly unashamed. So in 2016, when the least likely person ever asks you about your faith, when the hairdresser, chattering away as they do, says, we all go to heaven, don't we? We're all basically good. We're all fine. Will you say something? When the least likely rank outsider darkens the door of Christchurch Littleheath this year, they can't even look at you with the shame that they feel for who they are. Will we remember verse 16? That the gospel is all about the power of God to save, not about our ability to do it for ourselves. Powerful to save even the worst of sinners. Powerful to save even Paul. Powerful to save me. Powerful to save even you. Well, this is my prayer for each of us, for our church family in 2016, that this verse would be a spur to us to not be ashamed of Jesus and his gospel. So I pray that. Pray that for us all. Our Father God, you know that we are tempted to be ashamed of Jesus and the gospel. You know that sometimes even speaking the name of Jesus in public makes us wince on the inside. We pray that this verse this year would remind us that we're in debt to the world with the glorious gospel to pass it on. And we can be unashamed of it because it is your power for salvation for anyone who believes, for us and for any that you might bring into our lives. So we pray you'd help us to be unashamed this year. In Jesus' name, amen.